Welcome back. What did we call this thing?
Abridged.
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 Mm-hmm. Hello, and welcome back to Abridged. This is what we are calling our Absurdia one shot, and we are having so much fun with this. Last time, I about dislocated a rib laughing, mostly because I had already done that earlier in the day, and it just hurt more. So that was fun. Thankfully, I am healed and ready to laugh. Without pain, which will be much more fun.
Yay!
We have our lovely guest here doing the GMing thing for us. So say hi, Quinn.
Hi, Quinn.
Nice. Yeah,
he did the thing.
Yay! I'm a dad. I'm legally obligated. Yeah.
Very fair.
True. So Quinn is going to be running this for us. Before we do get started, I will invite everyone to join us over on The Actual Place. That is our server where we've got a whole bunch of other actual play podcast buddies, much like our buddy Quinn, who runs the awesome Monster Hour, which is I highly recommend you check out. We also have...
Thank you.
We also have a Patreon if you want to check us out. Quinn, do you guys have a Patreon?
Yeah, we do. Patreon.com/monsterhour.
There you go. Yeah, so if you like us, come check us out. Throw a couple bucks at us and you'll get some cool stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, Quinn, I will go ahead and hand it off to you. And if you want to recap us, let us know what happened last time and get us started.
Fabulous. So last time, the angry mob descended on... the side of the bridge where previously another angry mob had left to protest City Hall. The mob was protesting Ace's program, and seeing him there descended upon him. He took to fleeing and was pursued by Theodore and the rest of the crowd. Meanwhile, Hendrix and Marv did a little bit of investigating, digging around, suspicious, as they often are, of the bureaucracy in City Hall. They spoke to some code compliance officers, they interviewed slash harassed Gary the robot, who's also the foreman of the bridge project, and if I remember incorrectly, discovered that he was not sort of in on whatever was happening. He was just as sort of annoyed about the disturbance as Theodore and others, and then started to head towards the rail yard, the eternal rail yard, where the trains appear and disappear out of nothingness, which the bridge is being built over because it's super dangerous. Ace managed to get to his radio station and put out a broadcast trying to rally the members of town that were not affected by the strange mania, the concern about the station. As he was able to get that broadcast out, but as soon as he did, Theodore and the crowd descended upon the station with a paintball gun, variety of other implements trying to get in. Ace made a brisk exit for the back door, threw it open, only to find the silhouette of a overlarge looming figure before him. And we're gonna kick it off with Ace's role to embrace chaos.
All right. This is going to be interesting.
Let's see it.
Because I have a -1 to chaos.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. A 7, because that is 8 minus 1.
Okay, so on a 7 and 9, you choose one of the embrace chaos options, and I choose one of the embrace chaos options.
Could you just let me know what those are? I have the screen, but it's tiny, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, let's hear
absolutely. You gain a clear understanding of the power's source effects and motives, if any. You quell the power's effect or fan its flames. You briefly wield this power's effect. You subvert this power to achieve your ends, take +1 forward. You inflict or heal 1 harm on a nearby target, or you mark or erase 1 essence.
I think because of his... Especially after the broadcast he just put out and his drive to know the truth... I believe I will choose to that first one. Know the means and effects, if any, or whatever it was.
Yeah. So I'm gonna narrate these together because I am choosing to fan the power's flames.
No.
Ooh.
You are going to gain a fracture, much like Theodore did. This is a temporary fracture, but it is a fracture nonetheless. And your fracture is. Outraged.
But what am I outraged at? because they were outraged at me. So what am I outraging at?
That's a great question. I think you're outraged at Marv and Hendrix.
For inciting the mob.
Because you saw them. Yeah. Like, how dare they do this to you? How dare they? So when you gain a fracture, you assign it to one of your basic moves. When you make that basic move, you make a fractured roll. So whenever you make that roll, if you get a 10 plus, you mark essence. If you fail, you mark experience. So which of your basic moves would you like to assign your outrage to?
I will assign to fight for life.
Okay. You're outraged. You get a clear understanding of this power source, effects, and motives, if any. The power source is this person standing before you.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a person in some sense. Before you is an overlarge man in his mid-30s. He stands about 7.5 feet tall. He's wearing khakis and an Argyle sweater vest. And his bulging eyes are framed by a pair of thick horn-rimmed glasses.
Okay.
This power is emanating from him. You can almost see it, actually, as you sort of come into focus. It's sort of, I think the only way to describe it is, like, it almost looks like the squiggly lines in cartoons when someone is smelly. But they aren't just going up,
lines.
They're kind of emanating outwards in every direction. And you can see some of them have curled around, like, the tips of your fingers and your legs in a decidedly embracing way. And the power's effect is to make you concerned.
Over Marv and Hendrix.
It is to stoke the fires of worry and anxiety, and in fact even outrage in your little human heart.
Great. Okay.
Motives? Unclear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, he sees this and he's not totally sure what he's even looking at, but with the effect of this power upon him, he has just doubled down and he is running from the station, probably straight past this guy, and he has an idea of where he's going, which I can tell you about now, or we can cut back to somebody else and come back to me.
No, let's follow you for a minute.
Okay. I think his initial thought was to go to his sister's house, but he thinks, oh, that could be dangerous because that's an obvious point. They might know to look for me there. So I think he is heading through, you know, back alleys and sideways and different things. He's heading for the local diner in town is where he's going. He's headed for the local...
Okay.
He's headed for the local diner. He knows the proprietor. That's one of my friends. His name is Benny. He runs the diner. The Bloated Toad is the diner. And his idea is that he is just going to hide out possibly in the back kitchen and maybe charm some food out of Benny while he just collects himself, if possible.
Okay. Give me a roll to... No, actually, I don't think anyone pursues you. I think you see... Yeah, I think you sprint past this tall person, humanoid, and in your enraged, outraged state, and head towards the Bloated Toad, and we see the crowd outside of your radio station start to encircle it, but they don't notice you as you slip away.
Ha 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 ha, I win. Okay.
Theodore, how are things going at the radio station?
I do believe I am expressing my general rage.
Okay.
At the outside of this building via the medium of paintball gun.
Yeah.
How am I feeling?
I still pretty riled up.
Okay. Well, I mean, if I'm still mad, I guess I'll try to break down the door, I suppose, with the crowd. That seems like the thing to do. Or maybe the windows. Are there windows to this place? There's got to be some windows, right? That seems easier.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm going to go and use, like, the butt of the paintball gun to break in the window.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think you have any problem doing that.
All right. And then I may be mad, but I'm still Theodore, so I'm going to, like, kind of carefully pull the glass away and... Once I've removed all the glass, I'm going to shimmy my way inside and try to find face.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear. It's not a big station, right, Wesley?
Yes, it's rather Spartan, not terribly huge, so it doesn't take you very long, I would think, to see that I am obviously not present.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, you can see all sort of like the trappings of the broadcast setup and everything.
Well, I am specifically angry about the show. So it seems like it might make sense to take my paintball gun
please.
To all the equipment.
No.
Yes.
We get like the Scarface scene of Theodore, suited Theodore, blasting paintballs into the station equipment, just lighting everything up, and it's in just a few moments, it's a Harlequin mess. And I think the crowd behind you is like cheering you on, Theodore.
I think
I'm so glad powerful. I gave you my paintball gun.
I'm so glad too.
I think if there's a cutaway, there's a hitch in my step as I clutch at my heart because I feel deep inside they're ruining my livelihood.
Is there like a mini fridge or anything here?
I did say that he could camp out here on occasion, so that would make sense. I mean, there's definitely like a cot and a hot plate with a coffee pot, maybe a mini fridge. Yeah.
I think then I'm just going to open his mini fridge. And just leave it open.
Oh, no.
Brutal. Oh.
Man, the energy of that slight. I'm going to waste your power and make all your food go bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to open the mini fridge.
It's gonna,
and then I'm going to see if there's a back door.
You know what he's got in there?
Truly evil.
You know what he's got in there? He's got like a 5-pound thing of yogurt just sitting there, and it's going to be ruined when he goes back.
It's going to be terrible.
It's going to smell terrible.
I'm a very utilitarian, angry person.
Highly effective. Theodore, you lay into the station equipment, and you go about like opening the refrigerator and everything. And as you do this, you start to feel the outrage dissipate.
Oh,
only after all this is done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of standing there. I was kind of starting to walk towards the back door, and I can feel this outrage dissipating. And then you see, like, his whole, like, head and neck just turn, like, bright pink. Like, oh my god, what have I done? And he goes and he runs back in and shuts the refrigerator doors.
And in fact, the last thing you remember, Theodore, was stepping up to the rail yard.
That's strange. Yeah, I don't know what to think about that, but I do feel like maybe I should go back and see if there's any indication as to what caused that. So,
fair enough.
I'm going to go probably still like go out the back door because I don't want to run into any people now because I still feel really awkward. But I do keep the paintball gun because now I feel like I need to return it to its proper place and I need to get my stapler back.
Yeah,
I gave up my stapler in my rage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your stapler is nowhere to be found.
I'm gonna be like, you know, hoofing it back towards the rail yard because I don't know what happened to me, but something went wrong at the rail yard, and I need to know what happened.
Yeah, you don't even know who has your stapler.
I know. True. I feel terrible, but I've got this thing, and I need to find my stapler, and maybe it's at the rail yard. I'm feeling very insecure without my stapler.
Yeah, so you step out the back door and start heading towards the rail yard. And I think as you do, you see a large crowd of people standing outside the station, kind of looking around awkwardly and starting to disperse in their various directions back into town, all in a state of confusion and befuddlement.
I desperately try to avoid eye contact with anyone.
Yeah, most of them are trying to avoid eye contact with you as well, so you don't really have much of a problem.
Great.
And you start heading back towards the bridge and the Eternal Rail Yard.
Yes.
Speaking of, Marv and Hendrix, you're already there.
Yes.
You're already there. You are traipsing down the hill from the base of the bridge. You'll recall that the bridge is kind of just gotten under construction, so you've got like the landing that's built and it extends outwards towards the rail yard, but it certainly hasn't finished construction yet, and there's kind of like a similar nub on the other side. But you're heading down the hill away from Gary and the code compliance officers.
And the note from Gary just said something about, like, a bridge too far, right?
I'm not going to lie. I don't remember what the note said.
The note said.
That's the only thing I remember is a bridge too far.
I was hoping the editing would be done.
Wesley, what is it?
Santa?
Wesley,
the note, remembers. The note said, a bridge too far, underpaid and overpromised.
Ah, there we go. Okay, he just
Wesley has a
episode.
Scarily good memory.
That's good.
And he just edited
Plus, I was editing that today.
He did just edit the episode, yes.
Way to undercut him, Hannah.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Hannah. That's so nice of you.
Yeah, so the note said, a bridge too far.
I guess that would probably lead Hendrix toward the bridge, but I can't remember what her and Marv talked about last.
I think you were heading towards the... Were you headed towards the rail yard or towards the bridge? You're already at the bridge, I believe, or certainly, like, very close to it.
I think, from what I recall, they were at the bridge after inciting the mob to go after me, but they hadn't necessarily moved from there. So the crowd moves off, but they were still there, I think.
Yeah, I don't think we really chose what we were doing.
She's going to show Marv the note that she pulled out of Gary's pocket.
Okay.
And just say, like... what do you think this means?
And Marv is taking it and he's reading it and he's just like, well, it sounds like they like to write things kind of flowery. They're making it kind of poetic and such. So, they clearly don't like the bridge. I mean, this is in Gary's pocket, right? And he's the one who's building it. I mean, as much as I don't like the guy, that doesn't really add up.
Doesn't really tell us what's going on here either.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I can't prove it yet, but I still think that this is the bureaucracy somehow. Everybody was seeing something, some kind of figure, a big tall man or something, and... I don't know. I guess we need to learn more about that thing to really get to the bottom of this.
Should we look around to see if anything else is here?
Yeah, I mean, it all started here, and it's about the bridge, so... Yeah, maybe we just look around here.
Whereabouts? So, to describe the scene just a little bit...
Yeah.
You have the landing of the bridge, so where it kind of, like, lifts off the ground. The bridge itself goes... I don't know, let's say like 15 feet out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, you know, the construction's still underway. So they've got like, you know, supports and a bunch of construction equipment, like, you know, down there, sort of like the pillars and all the construction gear.
Gotcha.
I'm not in construction. I don't know all the gear, but yeah, listeners, picture it. Use your imagination. Yes.
You've seen construction.
Yeah.
You've seen construction, undoubtedly. You know what I'm talking about.
Stuff.
And then beyond that, just a short ways are the crisscrossing rail lines of the Eternal Rail Yard. And there's a handful of cars that are stopped in there. Every so often, one of them will... abruptly start and move and take off, and then, you know, periodically trains will appear out of one of the sides and sail through the rail yard and then disappear as quickly as they come. And then beyond the rail yard, there's sort of the landing on the other side, the ravine.
Okay.
Well, considering my agendas are explorer and thrill seeker, I think... investigating the half-constructed bridge sounds right up Hendrix's alley, but
yeah.
If Marv goes somewhere else, she'll probably follow him for now.
I mean, Marv wants to inspect the bridge and see if he can determine anything from the bridge site, so I think he definitely would want to start kind of where the construction stopped. You know, I think he wants to see, maybe check out the construction equipment and just kind of looking at the rail yard from a distance to start out. So kind of making his way from the construction area to just the rail yard itself, I think.
Sure. Give me a roll to assess reality.
All right. Ooh, that's one of my good stats. Well, it doesn't help when you roll snake eyes, so that's a 4.
Yikes-a-rooney.
Yeah.
On a miss, you might reveal crucial information, or the GM might have you ask two questions but give you some information that is inaccurate. I always like the second one, so go ahead and ask two questions, but some or all of the answers I give you will be incorrect.
All right. So, assess reality. I get to ask two questions. Oh, boy. And I won't be able to trust anything you tell me.
Much more fun that
way. Does the,
you
does
might
the whole...
be able to trust some of it, but you'll never know which part.
Does the whole, if you act on the answers, you take plus one on going still apply or not on a miss?
No.
Okay. I figured that
good
was
question.
The case. And
that
I can't say
remember to use it ever.
Yeah. Let's see here. What happened here? What's the best route? Are there any dangers? What is useful or valuable? What is how it appears to be? Who or what is really... So I've got, I think the two things I'm trying to figure out about all this is what here is not what it appears to be and who or what is really in control here.
I think you head down the ravine to where the staging equipment is set up. And I think that you can see there's like an old school freestanding time card, punch in, punch out. And you can see, you know, a lot of people, a lot of like, you know, construction workers have been sort of in and out. And you can see Gary's check in and check out. You can also see, I think you can see that there have been multiple inspections by city inspectors over the past couple of days on the bridge, probably more than, I mean, you don't know, because, you know, you don't know the arcane Byzantine inner workings of City Hall, but it seems like a weird number of inspectors to be checking out this bridge.
Okay.
That's the answer that I will give you.
Okay. Is that the answer to both questions, or?
Yes.
Okay. So Marv is looking at this and he's just like, I think maybe Hendrix isn't like immediately like right next to him. And he's just like, hey, look at this. And
yeah.
Hendrix, are you also looking around?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you also give me a roll to assess reality?
Okay. I rolled a 6.
Jeez Louise.
Guys, come on.
Marv, I will add, it's pretty sus. That City Hall has decided to build a bridge over the rail yard rather than dealing with the problem of figuring out what's going on with the trains. Like, what are they trying to hide?
Exactly.
Like, why won't they deal with this situation?
Do they actually know what's going on? And this is just a Band-Aid to make it look like they're doing something when they're really just allowing it to continue. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Do we want to deal with Hendrix's fail first? Okay. And then I'll.
Yes.
Yeah, I got a 6. My wits modifier is a 0, so.
Okay, goodness gracious. All right, pick. I'm going
to
do the same thing.
Give us some kind of information.
I would. Pick 2, but somewhere all of the answers that I give you will be inaccurate.
What here is useful or valuable to me? And what here is not what it appears to be?
I think amongst the construction equipment, you see a petition, a community flyer with several pages of signatures stapled together with a number of people who have signed on protesting the bridge, saying it's an eyesore, you know, it's covering up an underlying issue. It's a boondoggle. There's a whole list of concerns, and it's a petition of redress to the city council, and it looks like it's just been left here. Never delivered.
Okay, I'm gonna pick it up.
Okay.
I take it with me. I go back to meet up with Marv.
I think with both of you failing here, I'm actually... I actually want both of you to give me a roll to embrace chaos.
Oh, boy.
I think at a -1, actually.
Oh,
That seems more than fair. So my chaos is a -1 already, so that's a -2 for me.
Yeah.
Great.
I don't even think it's worth pushing the roll.
Well, let's see. Let's
I'm just going to go for it. Mm. Well, that is a 7 -2 for a 5.
Okay.
My chaos is +1, so -1 is 0, but I rolled a 7.
Oh,
so
okay.
By the skin of your teeth.
I scraped out a success. A mixed success.
So, Hendrix, go ahead and pick one of the options from the Embrace Chaos list.
I think gaining a clear understanding of the power's source would help.
Yeah, okay. I think you pick up this sheaf of petitions, and behind you, you see an extremely large figure standing, about 7.5 feet tall. He's dressed in kind of business casual clothes, you know, like khakis and like a, what did I say earlier? A sweater vest, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you said khakis and an Argyle sweater vest. It's got a tasteful, if, you know, kind of like out of unfashionable pattern. And he's got thick horn-rimmed glasses. And he holds up one other sheet of petitions and hands it to you. Doesn't say anything, but points in the direction of City Hall. And both of you are going to gain a temporary fracture.
All right. And
perhaps unsurprisingly, that fracture is outraged.
All right.
Go ahead and choose which, you can choose whichever basic move you want to assign it to, but it's pretty obvious that this is a cover-up, and it goes all the way to the top.
Yeah.
Those dang bureaucrats at City Hall are trying to control people again.
Yeah.
And frankly, it's an outrage.
Yeah.
Something should be done.
This is outrageous.
Oh, I've got... Okay, I know what I'm going to do. Okay, so first off, the way that the fracture works is that you assign it to one of your basic moves. What does it do again? Like, what's the effect of a fracture?
Yeah, so whenever you roll a 10+, when you make that basic move, you mark essence. Mm-hmm. And whenever you fail on that move, you mark experience.
Okay, gotcha. Then I am going to say that because I am outraged, I think that it's like... almost like adrenaline for me. So I have kind of like heightened senses. So I think it's going to be tied to my assess reality.
Okay.
I am thinking face fear.
Okay. Fabulous.
Sense.
Yes, this tall, large man in sort of business casual, unfashionable business casual, points the two of you towards City Hall wordlessly.
And I get that last sheet of paper from this person as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I take that last piece of paper and I put it with the rest of the petition. And I turn to Marv. I'm like, we need to get to City Hall right now.
Yeah, I mean, look at this right here. They're sending too many inspectors. It doesn't make any sense to build a bridge here. They're up to something. It's got to be. They got to be doing some kind of cover-up to... get over the issue, whatever they're really doing down here. I agree. We need to go after City Hall, but let's stop by my junkyard first.
And deliver this petition! Let's go!
Yes, but no. We're gonna stop by my junkyard first. I gotta prepare. We're gonna really stick it to them.
Oh, no.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And I think...
Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to make a detour? Okay.
Yeah, if it's in service to... your outrage, then yes.
Okay, awesome.
Incredible. So we see Marv and Hendrix march up the ravine. I think everyone's gone now. I think the code compliance officers have cleared out along with Gary. So
okay.
We see the two of you march up and Theodore march towards the bridge.
Actually, real quick, I think Marv would offer to give Hendrix a ride. She has a skateboard, so I guess she'd just follow me and Lars.
Yeah,
but,
I can follow you with my skateboard.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, Theodore, you have arrived on the scene.
I have arrived on the scene. Do I see them leaving?
Yes, you do. You see Marv and Hendrix marching very determinedly up the ravine by the bridge and heading away.
Your stapler is harnessed to my back.
Yes.
I'm gonna run over to Hendrix.
Okay.
Can you catch me on my skateboard?
I'm gonna run.
Narratively, let's say yes.
Okay.
maybe he arrived.
I arrive like as you're running. I'm just like running past the court. Excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me.
Hendrix, you see a member of the bureaucracy headed your way.
Oh. Hey, Marv. There's one of them now.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Hey, you.
Yeah.
You have my paintball gun.
Yeah. Do I?
Don't play dumb with
you
me.
You have my stapler.
What is the bureaucracy hiding with this bridge here?
What?
Who's in charge of this cover-up?
Oh, I see. Could I trade you back for my stapler?
No, you're going to tell us what's going on right now.
I assure you, I do not know.
I think Marv brandishes his circular saw.
Oh my god!
Wow. Okay. Okay.
That is okay. My weapon, by the way.
All of you get fancy weapons. I've got nothing.
The Vox fights with words.
It's true.
I was going to say, you have the power of your voice.
Mm. Slash, look, the Vox doesn't fight.
That's true. I get punched is what happens to me.
I am fairly certain that there is some kind of bureaucratic nonsense going on here, and I think there's been some subterfuge within my department. And can I use analysis paralysis?
Sure. Do you want to read that for the listeners?
I can mesmerize a small crowd of people, and technically two is a crowd, using a combination of technical jargon and arcane whispering. They must be able to hear and understand you, and the effect will end as soon as there is a clear and present threat to their safety, but otherwise they will be enthralled to you as long as you continue speaking.
Wow.
Yep, yeah, you can use it.
Great. It doesn't have a role, I just do it.
So do you want to bite us off? Another, some more.
Well, I was saying that, but yeah, I add in some whispering that you guys can hardly understand.
It is literally bureaucratic nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you see their eyes kind of glaze over, and as long as you keep spouting technical jargon, they will remain in a placid state.
Yeah. Oh God, I don't know what to do. My brain is not working good today.
We can jump to Ace if you'd like.
Oh, yes, please, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. We jump to Ace at the... Oh, gosh, what was it?
The Bloated Toad. The
Bloated Toad.
I've got a description in mind if you need it.
Oh, fabulous. Lay it out for us.
Okay. He arrives here, and he, like, bursts through the door, and even from the outside, you can see that the proprietor of this place loves toads. I mean, there is iconography of toads everywhere in this place, including, you know, there's the big sign over the top. It's like one of those cardboard or chalkboard signs hanging over the neck of this stone toad on the top of the building. And then inside, it's all, you know, bright greens and mottled patterns. And, you know, it's honestly, like, it's a terribly ugly in any other town, but... Benny is standing there behind the counter, and he's this kind of, like, really a teddy bear of a guy, but really big. And on the counter next to him, or not far away, is quite possibly the namesake of this place. No one in town has been really sure if it was named because of her or not, but sitting right there on the counter, not far from her master or his master, I don't know which of which here, but it's Harley, his pet toad.
Fabulous. I like to imagine that
Harley... big, fat... Pac-Man toads.
I kind of like to imagine Harley sitting on Benny's head, actually.
Oh, yeah,
does
like
that work
that.
For you?
That'll work too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Almost like
a chef's cat.
Like but... Mario Brothers toad hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Ratatouille.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'd like to think that there's not really much business going on right now in the diner, because... there's the huge crowd of people that have formed a mob, and they're all out looking for me. So I come in, and I'm huffing and blowing, and I'm like, oh, Benny, there you are. It's absolute chaos.
Oh, hello, Ace. How's it going?
Yes, I know. It's part of the...
Ribbit.
It's part of the... Yeah, yes, I understand.
Ribbit.
And... please, Benny, not now. This is kind of important. Anyway, I'm very hungry. I haven't eaten anything since this morning. Could I possibly, order my usual... Or I'll pay extra. I could do that. You need me to do that? And he reaches for his wallet. And Benny, the relationship for Benny and Ace is... They're childhood friends. They grew up together. They've known each other for forever. He gives him ad spots on the radio, and occasionally Benny will give him free food, but it's not a hard and fast deal.
Oh, no, that's all right. No need for that, Ribbit. Yeah, the usual. Come and Ribbit up.
All right. All right, thanks. And so
I love
he's,
that, by the way.
he's just catching his breath here, and eventually his usual comes out, which is like, think like a regular burger, except that this is a weird town, so topping the burger is like, not only is it overly large, but it's like the single largest onion ring you've ever seen, or possibly a stack of them on top.
Okay, yeah.
It's not that weird.
I know, but...
I think as Benny is cooking your burger, Harley is sitting on his head backwards, just staring at you the whole time.
And he's kind of catching his breath. And he's like, hi, Harley. It's been a while. You still have that rather eternity-long stare of yours, I see. And
Harley's tongue rolls out like a bulldog.
Yes, I've missed you too, yes, but I just need to catch my breath here and then possibly run for my life once again. I'm not sure. Have you, I don't know if you've had the radio on around here, Benny, but there's some crazy stuff going on down at the bridge.
Harley flicks her tongue out across the diner and turns on the radio.
It might be, like, maybe it's another report saying the same thing, or maybe it's, like, a official, or actually, it could be a report by Preston, maybe, or a...
Yeah,
or...
I think it is. Attention, residents of Veilthorn. Please return to your homes. We understand that many of you are concerned. Outraged, even. Please know that these are not authorized emotions, and they are banned by the city council. Please return to your homes at this time.
And he's waiting for the food, and he's just looking at... since he can't see Benny, since his back's towards him, he's imploring, but he's looking at Harley as if he's talking to Benny, and he goes... I know you don't buy into this, right? You know me. We grew up together. I am your friend. You're my friend. You know that. He didn't mention this. Of course he wouldn't, because, you know, he doesn't want anyone to help me. He's always hated my guts. But they were after me at the bridge. There was this mob. I got punched. My pocket square got stolen. It was crazy.
Harley's tongue turns off the radio and slowly sort of rolls back up.
And I think he's saying this just to get his thoughts out in words, and he just goes, well, I don't know if I'm right, but my reporter's sense is tingling now, and I believe whatever is going on, it's got to have something to do with the bureaucracy. It's got to have something to do with City Hall, I'm sure. There was too many things didn't add up at the bridge today, and I think whatever it is, it might have to have something to do with City Hall. I might have to... I know it might be dangerous, but, well, the truth is a dangerous thing, and I will always find it. And he's still, like, kind of pumping himself up while trying to keep calm. Although, if they're heading to City Hall as well, it might turn ugly, I don't know, but yeah. He's probably, unless Betty's got something to say, he'll probably just scarf his food and then dash out towards City Hall, because he's, at this point, after the day he's had, he is ready for some answers.
Okay. Just a reminder, you finish up your food. Benny brings it over. Benny, like, turns around, and Harley's been facing you the whole time, but now Benny is. He kind of, like, rotates underneath her, and the two of them bring your food out, and he wordlessly returns back to the front counter. You scarf down your food, and you head outside, but you still feel the outrage against Hendrix and Marv burning within your stomach. The food has not satiated it, so just a reminder.
Oh yes, I'm positive. should he cross paths with the two of them, things will happen.
And you step out of the diner and head towards City Hall?
Yep, I'm going to City
Hall. Okay. All right, let's jump back to Theodore, Hendrix, and Marv.
Now, if you'll excuse me, ma'am, I'm just going to replace my stapler. Obviously, this is a part of my professional equipment synergy. And we're just gonna, I'll just give you back this little device.
I think I'm going to have you give me a roll to hoodwink.
Okay.
Because this is a little more, this feels like a little more than the move sort of Envision,
Quinn,
so let's...
She threw in the word synergy in the middle of her thing. Like, of course we're stupefied.
Take a plus one. Take a plus one, because yes. You're using your okay. The company analysis synergy. Paralysis.
I'm all for
never
this.
Mind that.
That's right, sideboards up in here.
I'm just not technically trying to lie or is this more of a sway than a hoodwink? Because I'm not trying to like mislead them. I just want my stuff back.
I think hoodwink's more appropriate here for like the conditions that are
that's understandable
are outlined.
Need to work in some professional development and have more weekly meetings.
That is
gosh, I hate weekly meetings.
A 7.
I swear I get a new weekly meeting every week.
On a 7 to 9, your ploy works, but I will introduce a complication or consequence.
Okay.
I think it is that this is going to break the spell.
Okay.
Doing this. Like, you'll be able to make the switcheroo, but it'll fade shortly thereafter.
Okay. If I can feel it fading... I think I'm just going to turn around and run towards the bridge with my with my stapler now.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, Hendrix and Marv, you sort of... Come to isn't quite the right word, because like it was more like you were in a dream for a brief period of time, but you have awoken now, and you see Theodore sprinting down towards the bridge.
Hey!
Hey, he's got to be hiding something. He's going after the bridge.
Can I
maybe
pull up
he's
my
going to whatever.
Gun and try to shoot him in the back with a paintball gun.
Oh, poor Theodore.
Oh my.
Sure. Theodore, I think this makes the most sense as you doing a save your skin roll.
Okay. Let's see.
Rather
this
than
this is more in an attempt to slow him down than to actually harm him.
Yeah, that's why I think it makes sense this way. This is the most PvP I've ever had in a game of Obsidian.
Yeah.
A 9.
Welcome to the Thornvale crew.
Yeah.
We do like our PvP every once in a while.
Yeah.
I got a 9.
I mean, it is kind of a consequence of the way I've set up this disturbance.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't envision so much of this affecting your inter-party
dynamic, yeah.
Dynamics, but maybe I should have.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Theodore, I think you can get away, but you are going to be covered in paintballs.
I'm okay with that.
Not covered, but hit with several. So you're going to be quite colorful.
I'm so disheveled.
Okay. Yeah, you escape down into the construction site.
Okay.
And I think, I don't know if Marv and Hendrix want to pursue, but with a hit here, I think that you will be sufficiently hidden from them.
Okay.
Unless Marvin Hendricks want to spend like a bunch of time looking for you, which is up to you. In which case, then I will ask you to roll assess reality.
So the thing is, like, so Marv specifically thinks something's going on with the bridge, that they're hiding something, and now a member of the bureaucracy ran towards the bridge, like, to run away from us. So part of me wants to say that I do want to hunt him down, but Theodore's also not at the top, and we think that this has gone all the way to the top. So I think what Marv is going to say, I think he's actually just going to ask Hendrix. He's just going to say, so you think that we should go after him, or should we go after his superiors?
Well, we need to deliver this petition, but we can't let him get away.
I mean, isn't he the one who's building this bridge? Do
you
we know that,
right
actually,
there.
Or do we not know that?
You probably know who the Department of Transportation is.
And you even mentioned the
by.
Department of Transportation earlier in your speech to us, so... Yeah, you're right. This is our chance to get him. Let's go find him.
Okay.
And I'm still brandishing my circular saw.
All right, so the two of you run back into the construction site. It is quite quiet. You see, like, plastic wrap waving in the wind. You know, hear a few like pebbles fall from different locations where they're located. It's like a classically eerie construction scene, and that silence is interrupted as one of the trains from the Eternal Trail, the Eternal Rail Yard, enters, sounds its horn, sounds its locomotive a couple times, and then disappears into non-existence, you know, about 50 feet ahead of where it entered.
Okay. So this is where we roll Assess Reality, right? Or
yeah, I guess. Okay. I guess, yeah.
I just remember you had mentioned that earlier, so.
Yeah, give me a roll to Assess Reality.
I have decided to barricade myself inside of a excavator and locked the doors, and I'm like hiding below the level of the windows.
Got it. Okay.
That is a
seven. Oh, is it?
That's a 5 + 2 for nice. 7. So I don't trigger my fracture for this. I just get a regular assess reality.
All right. Hold one.
All right. Hold one. What here is not what it appears to be. It looks like I can't find Theodore. Do I have any clues? Does anything stand out as odd to me or off?
So you're searching around, looking for where Theodore went. And I think buried beneath like some corrugated aluminum, you find a stack of printer paper. Which is unmarked and appears to be in relatively good condition. And you also find an inkwell. And a quill.
Quill.
Okay.
And as you see this, you hear a whisper, almost like it's coming directly over your shoulder. And it says, just like the ones they use at City Hall. Go and mark one essence for me.
All right, I will do
as
that.
As you feel those whispered words burrow into your ears like a worm and come to a rest in your brain, gnawing at your nerves. And I think we'll end it there.
Nice. Jeez. Thank you.